KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. So we have seen, we've just talked about how Amazon has changed Seattle. There's another way to look at the way the city has changed. This is a map called the Seattle Poetic Grid, and it was created by Seattle's first civic poet, Claudio Castro-Luna, who's with us right now. Claudio, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Will you tell us about the Seattle Poetic Grid?
Yes, this was my culminating project, a civic poet, and it incorporated many of the writing workshops I did throughout the city in collaboration with the public library, and just my engagement in various literary pockets in the city.
Literary pockets. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I've crawled over that map and read Seattle in poetry. Let's listen to one of the poems on the Poetic Grid. This is by Anna Balint, who lived over an alley near the corner of MLK and Union back in the 90s, which is where we recorded her.
Summer in a CD alley. Blackberries roam the wire fence and stones crunch beneath tires, dust churning as an old Cadillac sputters and squeezes past screeching children. Bare-legged, their wet limbs gleam, hoses out on a hot day. A trickle only, the Kmart pool oozing its leak. Grown-ups cluster a back stoop, arms heavy across knees, a beer somewhere, men talking sports and fishing. A pause, eyes narrow as a patrol car slinks. It scours the backways, sirens silent. From an open window, B.B. King sings the blues. And keep singing.
What a great way to hear poetry with the noise in the background, which is from a new condo going up near that alley.
Got it.
Yeah. Claudia, you're not here from here originally. You came here from Oakland, I think.
I lived in Oakland before moving to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what did you learn about Seattle from making this grid?
I learned that we're a city concerned with the rapid changes that we're undergoing. I learned that we are very concerned with homelessness. The call when the poems went out didn't specify a particular topic. The only specification was that the poem had to be about a particular location. So these are all poems of place. And I was not entirely surprised to see how many of the poems dealt with homelessness or the rapid transformation of the city. The surprise came in to see how many poems were written about our parks. That was a lot of the poems are placed in open spaces in parks. And I thought, we're a city surrounded by beautiful greenery, right? Lakes and the ocean and mountains. And yet poets chose to write about open spaces and the parks that feed us in some way,
Yeah, what does that say to you?
I don't know. It tells me that it's a city of people who cherish the outdoors, who cherish our green spaces, our trees, lots of poems about trees.
Oh, yes, flowers, herons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, your background is in urban planning.
Mm-hmm.
How does that connect to your work as a poet, to becoming the civic poet of Seattle?
Well, I think the connection is place. I think as a planner, planners are concerned with place, right? How urban environments change, how the built environment affects us, how we push against the built environment. And all of those are themes that played out in the way in which I approach what interests me in poetic, in poetic terms. So the map was a very natural transition for me and a natural curiosity to see how we as poets and Seattleites understand the city we live in.
So there's a sense of space in the Seattle Poetic Grid. There's a sense, as you said, of free space and parks, but also loss, the loss of place. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
I think that the change that we are experiencing is so rapid that we are not having enough time to mourn the transformation, there is poems that in particular address, there was, in this place, I used to do this, but no more. That place is not, the physical building is not there. And with it, a bit of the memory went. So the memory now is in the imaginary. It is no longer related to the place itself. So I think that there is a lot of places, both imaginary and real. And the poetic grid definitely straddles both spectrums.
Yeah, even a kind of loneliness in some of the poems. Mm-hmm. Would you mind if I read you one of my favorites?
Sure, please.
This is called The High Walls I Cannot Scale, mm-hmm. from Kun Woon mm-hmm. at Hinghe Park. Mm-hmm. Desolate in my Chinatown morning, among the scraps and people sleeping in urine doorways, I ache from the politics of the heart. Pigeons flock together in Hinghe Park, no children to greet them. I walk for my sanity, since alone in my room before dawn, the mind constructs improbable things. The city is humming for profits, that's P-R-O-F-I-T-S, profits, and I wait for the porridge place to open, a bowl of sampan porridge adorned with a clump of watercress. The Chinese and I are one, scattered to the four corners of the globe. I have only enough to pay for one bowl, and so, my friend, I'm sorry, I must dine alone.
Mm-hmm. God. It's a gorgeous poem. It is a gorgeous poem. Yeah.
You know, some of the poems in the grid are not in English. I looked up, I didn't know what the poem is about because mm-hmm. I don't speak well, good enough Spanish or Mandarin. Mm-hmm. Why did you not translate those poems?
Yeah, that was I sat on that decision for a long time because my original instinct was perhaps to translate. But then I also wanted to make sure that the map reflected as much as possible our demographic makeup. And we are a city that has large pockets of immigrant populations, right? And I thought I wanted those voices to occupy the space as they are, and I wanted the rest of us to lean in and try to stretch an understanding or a moment or of time to see what might be there. And in that interaction, to spark a moment of encounter, because that's what the map is about. It's facilitating encounters between each other. And so I thought, you know, folks may not understand Spanish, but they may get a word or two. And in that puzzling over what word might be familiar, there is a reaching out to the other and getting closer. So that was why I decided not to translate.
What would you say to somebody who didn't stretch as you hoped, but just felt alienated for a moment?
I wouldn't say anything. Then that was their experience. I mean, I don't understand Arabic at all. The titles were left. I translated the titles because I thought that would give us a clue as to what the poem is about. And so the poem in Arabic by Lina, Khalaf Tufaha, has a beautiful title, and I look at it. I have no idea what she's saying, but I could look at it and be with that, and that's fine.
We're talking with Claudia Castro Luna, outgoing civic poet of Seattle, who created not just an anthology, not just a nice coffee table book, but why a digital map of a Seattle poetic grid?
Yeah, I thought that the reason why the city is undergoing these tremendous changes has to do with that sector of the economy. And I thought it was fitting for the arts to occupy space in that sector. So I wanted for there to be a representation, a literary representation that was digital and that was interactive. So that's where the idea comes from. And it's also very interesting. I wanted it to be a tool in classrooms. I think it's an interesting way to get to know the city for people who are new to town, but also for those of us who've lived here. And Seattle is so divided by our transportation corridors that if you live in West Seattle, you don't often come up to Ravenna. And so this is a chance to get to know somebody in Ravenna through their poetry. So it was an effort at approximations.
So it sounds like, as a poet, you don't despair over our digital age. I mean, I thought about this as I'm brought to tears by something I'm looking at on a screen, mm-hmm. you know? And I wasn't making a distinction in that moment. I wasn't feeling like our words are leaving or our souls are leaving. But I hear that about Seattle sometimes. We're losing our soul. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think perhaps there's some true. I mean, there's an effort called A Ghost of Seattle Past, right? There's an anthology and there's a lot of work around that, readings and so on. But I think there's something about recovering that memory and being active in insisting upon who we are and revisiting and talking about who we are. I made an effort to reach out to seniors, for instance. There's senior writers in the grid because I think their Seattle is very different than our Seattle. And I wanted to capture what that Seattle was. I want to learn from them. So I think it's both things. It's not one or the other, you know? We could recover some of it by writing about it, by talking about it, but maybe stopping and changing the direction of things. And also, it is true, we're losing things.
I wondered whether that was a, as you say, senior writer in West Seattle at 35th and Graham, writing about revisiting the same corners, same streets as 30 years ago, but no sanctuary now, and going on from there.
Yeah, there's some very, some of the poems were left uncurated. Some poems went back and forth with an editorial process. There's one poem in White Center that was written by a gentleman who, Jim Monroe, who came into a drop-in workshop I did at the Green Lake Branch, and wrote something so beautiful about that area of Seattle, so the White Center, the southern, part of Seattle. Mm-hmm.
Southwest Seattle.
Yeah, talking about what it was like when he was a kid. And it's so beautiful.
Would you like to read anything for us?
I could read an excerpt from a poem that I wrote for the city, and it's the title of it is Emerald City Blues. So I'll read three stanzas.
Okay.
And they address these issues that we're talking about. Emerald City Blues. All over where there was a structure, now there's two, with fallen buildings, memories of who we are, wither and slew, the fair city we dream of, or the one we misconstrue. Change leads to change till the day when we ask we are who, and what of our hearts to unlock the impact of each adieu, the city we imagine and the one we are can be true. In future's rearview mirror, we knew what we knew. Those who lose are many. Those who win are few. Sky favors no one. Gray upon gray or blissful blue. The city we aspire to be or the one we may rue.
Outgoing civic poet of Seattle, Claudia Castro Luna, would you want to live in a city or a town where the people felt sure they knew who they are?
No, I am. I love Seattle. I am so happy to live here and to have served as the civic poet and to continue to create. I think Seattle is a wonderful place with possibility, because still, you know, there's an openness in Seattle for possibility. We are not a closed space, and we certainly are not sure of ourselves. Mm. So it's a great place to create and to be and to live, I think.
That's why I love poetry. It keeps that door open. So I've loved having you here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Claudia Castro Luna, outgoing civic poet of Seattle, and we're tweeting out a link to the Seattle Poetic Grid right now. There's also a reading from the project on Thursday night, 9 o'clock at Vermilion on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of Lit Crawl.
Yes.
Thursday night, 9 o'clock. Claudia, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's The Record on KUOW Seattle. Back in just a moment.